I was just starting our Friday here over at the Swirlery, and all of a sudden I looked down at my phone, and someone had messaged me saying that the governor closed down on-premise consumption of alcohol at bars again. And I'm completely shocked by it, to be honest with you. Hi, this is Melissa McAvoy, co-owner of Swirlery Wine Bar with my partner, Damian Roman. It's probably the right decision because a lot of people just maybe they need to be told what to do sometimes. You know, for us, we've closed on-premise consumption here at Swirlery. Just looking at all the numbers and seeing in Orlando that everything is rising. Now we're talking about just unbelievably high numbers. We decided that we wanted to just close the on-premise and just do kind of curbside for a little while. So I just thought it was a good idea to minimize our risk and everyone else's risk. It really wasn't a hard decision. It just seemed like the right thing to do. But it's always so shocking when the government tells you you have to do it. In all honesty, I don't really like it, you know? I like it when I say, hey, we're gonna do it. But no one likes the government telling them what to do, especially when it comes to running your business. I mean, obviously many bar owners here in Orlando have shut down, but I guess we could also say many have not. You know, numbers are huge. We were alarmed at 4,000, we were alarmed at 5,000. Now we're nearly doubling those numbers. And so I guess we just have to trust that we're doing the right thing. But we were choosing to do pop-ups in the parking lot, which I really was enjoying. You know, on the perfect night when it wasn't raining, we could set up tables outside, socially distance our guests, set up a bar outside. I really feel like that's great, and now we've kind of lost that opportunity to do that. That might be something that we are going to have to look into again, where we do, you know, the full bottle sale only, or, you know, the to-go beverage where it's wrapped up, it's sealed, and then we allow them to drink it out in the parking lot. That might still be an option. I'm definitely going to be looking into, as we discussed before, is to, you know, getting a restaurant license here for Swirlery for the future of our business. So that when this happens, if we want to continue to serve, you know, wine outdoors with small, you know, food offerings, that's something that we'll actually be able to do. It would be great if our governor didn't have to stop bars from serving alcohol, but at the same time too, I guess you can't always count on bar owners to do the right thing.
3 weeks to the day after bars in Florida emerged from an 11-week ban on drink service, the state clamped down again, forcing them to return to retail and takeout operations only. The announcement came just minutes after Florida reported nearly 9,000 new COVID-19 cases in a single day, the latest in a string of records as hospitals reported rising coronavirus patients and dwindling ICU capacity. In Orlando, many bars had already stopped serving voluntarily, but others appeared to ignore rules about capacity and social distancing completely. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
The first thing that ran through my head is all of the money we would not be making this weekend.
My name is Rob Chase, and I own Digress Wine over in College Park.
There's that, then there's the people that I've got working here that I want to provide, you know, a paycheck to. We'll do what we can, and we're going to meet and get creative, and I don't know how long this is gonna last, so we'll brainstorm. We've already got some great ideas. You know, if we have to go back to goddamn Zoom tastings, then fine. But I think we're going to have to look beyond that. And it's just frustrating. I understand it. I mean, the cases were absolutely through the roof. And what can I do? We just need to play our part. and make sure that we keep everybody safe. And of course, I want everybody that works here and that visits here to be healthy. So that's what it looks like right now. I mean, it's been months and months of uncertainty and chaos anyway, so it's not really any different. I guess I'm just find myself more frustrated and concerned about the future, especially rolling into summer, than I have been. We had a little bit of a COVID scare here at the shop. We had a customer come in that is in medical transport, and he ended up eventually testing positive. Thankfully, it was at a time when nobody else was in the shop, and I had everybody tested. And everybody that works here is completely clean, so we all got our negative results back. Closed for a couple of days just out of precaution, and had everything really deep clean. I was just getting ready to send out an email about how everybody had tested negative and, you know, come on by for a glass of wine and welcome everybody back and make sure everybody knew, and that took a little turn. Thankfully, the 2 days that we closed are slower days anyway overall. I mean, it was interesting to send out a post and an email about it and try to find the right verbiage to let everybody know that we're taking the precaution. It's just one of those things where I've got to read and reread over and over, you know, at least 10 times to make sure that I've covered all the bases and it sounds urgent enough without being, you know, too much of an emergency situation. It was a real issue that we had to deal with immediately. And I think overall, the way it was addressed was well received. So I feel all right about it. I'm glad that we did it that way. Exactly. I think it was 100% the right way to go. And there's really no option otherwise. I mean, I couldn't imagine hiding that information. So it was just the nerves surrounding how long we were going to have to close for, what that means, and then what it looks like coming back and where the support will be. But overall, the responses we got back from the email, you know, and Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, were positive. So everybody was appreciative of the information and, you know, us trying to get out in front of it. And beyond that, I think the only concern was when, and, you know, if it was when there were more people here. And again, thankfully, it was when there was nobody here. So we got lucky, and nobody needs to worry about that. Now it's really just the nerves of wondering what that's going to look like on the other end, and if people are going to have negative associations, and that's tough, just because who knows what it's going to look like.
I ended up going to work to bartend at a restaurant. It's a restaurant in Kissimmee, and it's a friend's family-owned restaurant. This is Christina Peebles. I got laid off. I can't even imagine how many weeks ago now. But I had roughly 4 jobs at the time. The PPE that they're trying to use at the restaurant is like, oh, everybody has to wear a mask, and you have to, you know, wear gloves whenever you can. But you can't bartend in gloves. Everything will slip out of your hands when the gloves are wet. So it is kind of challenging in certain aspects, trying to be on top of it and diligently protect ourselves and our guest while trying not to go crazy. There's no hand sanitizer, like, and even the PPE that we have, like, we bring in our own masks. The gloves that we were provided, we ended up having to go to like an Ace Hardware to actually find different gloves, because the gloves that were provided had like micro holes in them. They were like these cheap, clear, oversized gloves that were single use, and it's like they're ineffective, you know what I mean? So, and you'd be surprised how much a box of gloves costs. It's like $17 for a box of gloves for like a 60 count.
but I don't know. It's hard because it's like, even the PPE that we're doing, is it going to be enough to actually protect us? Because I don't think it is. I think just the exposure rate alone, it's got to be everywhere. Like, I don't know if there is an amount of hand washing and face masks that are really going to protect us. And with our COVID numbers going up so drastically, it's very complicated because, one, I need the money. The $600 of unemployment runs out. They're saying July 31st, but a lot of people think it's actually going to run out before that. And then I'm out of unemployment this week for the $275. So it is kind of hard because it's like, do you risk your health by going to work? And is it worth the money if you do make it there? I was excited about the first shift. And then I started getting these like six top tables who frankly just had attitude. I started getting a little bit of that flack or the eye roll of, you know, wearing PPE or having gloves on, anything, you know what I mean? Because I think they're just young and rolling their eyes about it and they just don't care.
You know, honestly, if people can't be bothered and have that much of an issue with wearing a mask to be out in public, I mean, I don't think that they need to be coming here. And, you know, just if you're going to be careless about it everywhere, whether you think it's an overreaction or not, the cases are rising. So you can argue all day about testing and what that looks like for the numbers versus what the reality is, but I don't need to risk it. You know, speaking about our guy that was infected, the customer, you know, it sounds absolutely horrifying. And what he's going through right now is not something I'd want anybody, be a customer or, you know, close friend, family, to have to deal with. So that's our duty and our role.
This is Melissa. I think in Orlando and Orange County, and particularly, you know, to say we have to wear a mask and until the numbers go down, I think, you know, it probably came at a time that it's needed. That's what we have to do to, you know, get our, you know, community healthy again. Then we have to do it.
You know, I went this morning over to Downey Park, and the city was giving away PPE for small businesses. So we got a couple hundred masks and tons of sanitizer. So we're ready to go for that, which is great. But obviously, we'll require everybody to be covered up and adhering to all the guidelines. You know, and we hadn't been wearing masks at all. And, you know, I guess I was a little conflicted about it, but it seemed fine for what we were going through. And now that, you know, we're seeing a little bit more of this pop up and then making it mandatory, I mean, I'm perfectly happy to take that opportunity with, you know, mandated masks and just let people know that they can't be here without one. And fine, you know, we're going to piss some people off and that's okay. And, you know, we'll make some new friends too. But I think it does give us a little bit more ease when we do have to address it. You know, it's pretty black and white. You can't be here without one.
This is Christina. The county is starting to step up a little more, but I just think that that's probably pressure from the parks and the tourism industry, because who's going to come to the state of Florida if we become the new hub? You know what I mean? The parks have been dead, which has been great. I went to SeaWorld twice, which was fantastic. Their numbers are super low. It's $8 a month to go to the park, and everyone's wearing masks and they check your temperature. And then you can walk through animal exhibits, and we're not really touching anything walking through half those, you know? So those have been good. We went out, not really to restaurants or anything crazy over the last even 2 weeks, just trying to kind of lay low because of finances too. I haven't got unemployment for, I think, 2 weeks. And what I may have to do is I may have to talk to my landlords and say, hey, you know I'm paying X amount. What's your actual mortgage? You know, if unemployment is stopping, we're only working a couple shifts a week, it could potentially take me 3 weeks to pay my rent. So I do have to be more mindful to say, hey, is there any way of getting somewhat of a discount? Because I've been doing the best I can, and I think we've only missed 1 month so far. I definitely think they've been as lenient as possible, and I think we've been as diligent as possible to try to stay on top of everything. But with unemployment running out, I kind of don't know what other option I may have.
This is Melissa. Another Master Sommelier decided to kind of remove themselves from the court. And then right away, the court came out with a statement saying Black Lives Matter, which is great that they did that. You know, it took them several days longer than it should have for them to say that. But I'm glad that they said it. When, you know, he released his statement as to why he was quitting, he mentioned that there's a board and that all of the board members must vote in order for something, you know, to become, you know, to go into effect. And so that's kind of crazy, right? That's a crazy way of voting when everyone has to agree on something. So that totally makes sense as to maybe why it took so long to, you know, get it all worked out. But I mean, realistically, you would hope that there wouldn't even be one person voting against it, you know? There shouldn't be.
This is Christina. I don't remember a time in my life, and I'm 36, that we have had such a tense racial climate in the United States. It got to a point where me and my mom got into it this last week because my mom's like, no, it wasn't what you thought it was. I haven't really talked to her in like probably 4 days, because when I talk to her, the things that she's stating to me, whether it's news stories or whatever, are very one-off misinformation that I'm having to like fact check. So she's been getting honestly really frustrated with me fact checking her. So it has been hard to even get updates, I guess you could say, from her, just because we are kind of in a tense emotional state. Like, I've never argued with my mom as much as I have. I mean, we'll get over it. We love each other no matter what. Political, not political, it doesn't matter. You know, but right now I think, like, we need a pause.
You know, it was kind of a bummer to not do anything for Father's Day because we didn't know if, you know, everybody was infected or not. We were just gonna hang out, have some fun, but you know, that's all right. We can do that any day. It's not the worst case. But those are kind of the things you have to sacrifice. And you know, right now, I mean, I come in contact with more people than most do, albeit, you know, distanced and appropriate there, but it's still more to deal with. And I'm happy to separate myself from people and make sure that I'm always wearing my mask out there and just being extra cautious. It can't hurt anything.
This is Melissa. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, should I let people come in and do some shopping, you know, especially if they have their mask on, or, you know, if we can help, you know, minimize the whole process as much as possible. But at the same time, too, like I said, we just want to remain healthy so that we can still serve our community here and also just operate the business and, you know, be here for our staff so that they have somewhere to work, too. You want to just chill as much as possible and really take care of yourself. You know, I made a fresh juice yesterday. You know, I'm always just trying to stay on top of being healthy as much as I can. We're just trying to play it safe.
This week I'm feeling pretty nervous, quite honestly. I don't know what to expect. I mean, which I've said every week for the last couple months. And this is the first time that there's been something to really have to address publicly and deal with. And I don't know how that's going to affect us. So yeah, I'll be biting my fingernails this week for sure. And, you know, we've got a good crew here and a pretty great, loyal customer base that I couldn't be more grateful for. So we'll see how the weekend goes and if we have something good to tell you next time.
This is Christina. I feel like we're in the twilight zone of stuff comes out every week that is worse than the last week. It's like four separate chapters. It's like there's finances, there's COVID, there's Black Lives Matter, there's just racial turmoil. So I think it does come in waves of different things to be frustrated about. And this week it's been all of them. So emotionally, I don't feel like we're getting any better. And then it's been like, because of that, we hung out at the pool and drank for 2 days. So I was hungover for like 2 days. And that's not helping either, because then you just are really like frustrated and then you don't feel good. So it's like trying to find balance in my life of staying healthy and not trying to freak out has been rough.
This is Unwinding. Thanks to Christina Peebles, Rob Chase, and Melissa McAvoy for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando musician Julian Bond for providing original music for Unwinding, Amy Tardiff for editorial guidance, and WMFE for distribution and promotion assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.